This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the 1970. I'm Ed, and as always, I'm joined by fellow PSG Talk contributor Mark Damon. This is an emergency podcast of sorts. There's so much going on in the world of PSG right now. The club has completely dominated the headlines. So we just had to jump on the mic and share our thoughts on the biggest stories surrounding the club, including the potential return of Leonardo, then there's Neymar's injury, and could Adrien Rabiot actually stay in Paris? There's so much to talk about, so little time. Let's get started, shall we? Up first, we've got the return of Leonardo. This is a man, he played at PSG. He was the director of football at PSG. He was in charge of all of the club's major transfer market decisions. But all the rumors have him coming to Paris. So what do you think about that? Good move, bad move, indifferent?
Well, put a little context behind it first. He was the sporting director from 2011 to 2013. He was the sort of the godfather of this project from the QSI perspective, in that he signed all of the initial really key pieces to the early run here. Javier Pastore, Marco Verratti, Blaise Matuidi, and pretty much ever since he's left, there's been a bit of a void here at the there's a bit of a power vacuum that's developed. In a bunch of sporting directors have tried to take that place. None of them have really succeeded all that well. And it seems like right now the Qataris, who are even above Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president, have sort of made a decision to go back to Leonardo, who has resigned from AC Milan. They're basically reporting at this point, and I think enough people are reporting it that I can kind of go with it, that he's already pretty much in place running things. So it isn't one of those things where it's rumor and innuendo. This is, I think, right, a real thing that's happened. Like, it's weird, though. There hasn't really been any official word or announcement, but at this point, he pretty much, by all accounts, is the sporting director.
We do have those cryptic tweets from Jonathan Johnson, though, which pretty much all but confirms that he is returning or is already there doing the job. I thought I also read something about with Nasser's, legal issues, that the move to Leonardo, someone who's experienced in the job, who's done it before, it let him kind of take the reins so that Nasser can sort of fall back a little bit and take care of what he needs to take care of. So I think it's a good move if that is true. He knows the job. He's brought in big players. It was a huge signing when he came. So, when you were talking, I also mentioned Jeremy Menez was another signing. PSG tourist Matt will love that mention of his favorite player. But yeah, I think it's a great move. And if he can bring in, we'll talk about him a little bit later, but if he can bring in if he can bring in a player like that and check all the boxes that we need this transfer window, I think it'd be amazing move. And Henrique, we'll talk about him a little bit later, but I think he's run through his time here. I just don't know if he has any more to give us. He had some highs, he had some lows, but I think it's time to move on.
Yeah, and it's all very interesting how this came together over the last 2 weeks or so. There'd been reports that this was maybe in the works, but it hadn't really developed. And now that it's starting to really sort of develop and sink in that this is, in fact, the direction, it really is an interesting power shift in a time where I think there's some risk to it, but clearly this is a statement of intent that PSG are going to be a more, bolder operation than what they'd been the last couple of years. And you might want to say to yourself, well, isn't buying Neymar and Kylian Mbappe ambitious enough? Well, yes, it is. But I mean, everything after that has been very unambitious to a degree. And we'll get into it more. But One of the ambitious moves that the Qataris are looking to make is to sign Matthias de Ligt. That's how I'm going to pronounce it until someone tells me otherwise. This is gives, I think, PSG fans a bit of deja vu. Earlier this year in January, PSG looked to be on the verge of signing his countryman and fellow former teammate Frankie de Jong, but it appeared that Antero Henrique was played in that situation, and PSG ended up not getting him after very much looking like they would. So, in this situation, Matthias de Ligt, is this going to happen? Is this a different situation than the one that we had before? And if it is, what does this move say, and how does this affect things going forward? Because this would be a major, major signing for this club.
Yeah, so the report came from our friends at ESPN, Jonathan Johnson and Julian Laurens. And so in that piece, they have a source that said that PSG are the favorites to sign the Ajax defender. Some of the reasons they included were more playing time as opposed to maybe going to a Manchester United or Barcelona. And let's just be honest, he's not going to Manchester United to play in the Europa League. That's ridiculous. But he would have more playing time at PSG, and also the agent fees. PSG were more willing to pay those exorbitant agent fees. So when you start to think about it, it sounds like it really could happen this time. The De Jong signing fell through mostly because Barcelona, you know, tapped him up and they kind of used Henrique, as you mentioned, and then they called Nike and said, hey, we need a little bit of extra money, and they helped fund that transfer. So we lost out on him. But with De Ligt, I think it could happen in the story. I think I mentioned on Twitter that I thought the source was coming from, you know, De Ligt's camp, or maybe even his agent. They were leaking this and maybe they were trying to get a bigger offer from someone else, but you kind of talked me down from that point of view. So I think this has a really good chance. And I mean, if we can get Leonardo and De Ligt on the same day, I'm going to be ecstatic. I tweeted that out and a bunch of people agree with me. So it was a dark season for PSG supporters, but if we can turn this around and get a great start to our transfer window, it's nothing but up from there. What do you think?
Yeah, it also comes down to again, it's the shifting dynamics. Antero Henrique had been working on this. I don't know how diligently, I don't know how ferociously, but I think that if Matthias de Ligt does not come to PSG, I don't think it would be because they didn't pay him enough. Like, I mean, and as somebody who does not like Barcelona or what they stand for in the current sort of in their current iteration, where, and not to get too deep into it, but I kind of feel that they're hypocritical frauds in how they kind of have handled all of their recent success, and they've essentially become the kind of big money club that they've sort of been meant to not be over the years, and all the La Masia garbage that doesn't really mean anything anymore because they buy all their players like everyone else does. But anywho, I don't see Barcelona having the money to match it just because they have so many other people they have to sign. Juventus doesn't make transfers that big unless it's like Ronaldo or something.
Yeah.
I look at this and go, PSG want this. Like, there's an intent here to sign an elite level talent, a big money free agent, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. and present him to the world. That's how it worked in the old days, and they'd sort of lost that touch under Henrique and under Patrick Kluivert. So as much as this is a need signing, which to a degree it is a bit of a need signing, it's more of a statement signing than anything else.
Yeah, I think Barcelona would have to offload Umtiti for a sizable margin if they want to, or Coutinho, which we've also been rumored to be in for, which I don't believe that too much, but they would need to raise some funds in order to sign him, or again call Nike. But I love De Ligt. I think he would fill a need for us. I'm not sold on Tilo Kehrer. I love Presnel Kimpembe. I think he had a down year. I think he can bounce back, but you know, Thiago Silva is getting older. He may get an injury. He probably needs to play a few last minutes, and you've got this 19-year-old who plays like he's 28, like a seasoned veteran. He's got Champion League experience. It would be an amazing signing. I think PSG need to just push all their chips and just say, what do you want? You know, we cannot lose out on another Ajax player. I mean, that team inspired so many people. They were great to watch. I just think if we can sign one of them, and especially this kid, it'd be wonderful. So, well, fingers crossed on that
one. Lucky for you, that's what they're doing. I don't think there's any gumption about this. This is like, put your chips on the table. We're paying more than anybody else. We're not going to try to let this one go if we can help it.
I mean, do we have a sense of the time frame on this? So this article came out and said PSG are the favorites. I mean, you know, you had Hazard sign for Real Madrid today. Like, what's the holdup? What are we possibly waiting for?
I'm assuming they're waiting till the 9th, which is the opening of the window, if anything, which is Sunday. I don't know when this drops, but it would be Sunday.
Are we like tracking planes from, you know?
No, we're not tracking planes.
We need to know when he's going to be arriving in Paris.
No, stop. We're not tracking planes.
All right, let's move.
We're not stalkers.
We're not Barcelona fans. All right, so we're moving on to the goalkeeper situation. Gianluigi Buffon, he has left the club. Sadly, now this leaves Alphonse Areola and your boy Cibois. I think
and Kevin Trapp, who's still there.
He was my vote for the player that I always forget is actually a PSG player. So we have them. So what do you do? There are several goalkeepers that are out there that you could target. Or do you think that Areola is the guy to carry us through Champions League in the whole season? Or do you think Trapp is the guy? What do you do if you're Leonardo?
I think at this point, if PSG thought Alphonse Areola was their number one goalkeeper, they would have made him their number one goalkeeper by now. And I think he's done about as well as he can to put himself in a position to be PSG's number one goalkeeper. The problem is he's not at that elite level of goalkeeping. And you know that because last year when there was an issue of Alphonse Areola's availability on the open market, the team you heard the most was Newcastle. And if you're an elite goalie, if you're Jan Oblak, if you're David De Gea, if you're Ter Stegen, if you're Neuer, you're not getting linked with Newcastle. You're getting linked with other top European clubs. So it's pretty obvious that the rest of Europe doesn't see Alphonse Areola as an elite goalkeeper. And he's had his great moments, and he has some really good qualities. But I just go back to that game against OL in the regular season this year. He was tremendous in that first half. But even as tremendous as he was, it was his mistake that cost them the first goal. And I understood completely why they went with Buffon in the Champions League games that counted. I got it. It made sense to me. It didn't work, but I'd still make that decision, I think. I'm not going to use hindsight here. I would make that decision again and live with the results. Now, it's clear that Gigi can't really play at that sort of high level anymore. He's 41 years old and he can't really move as well. So you move on from him. You sell Alphonse Areola and you sign a number one goalkeeper. The names that are coming up to mind are De Gea and Keylor Navas. I would sign Navas yesterday because you have so many other needs on that team that you can't spend 90 million to 80 million euros on a goalkeeper. Just it's not practical. And if you can get a guy who's maybe not the best goalkeeper in the world, but he's clearly top 10, top 15. Mm-hmm. He's clearly been in major matches. He's clearly won major matches. He's been a good player on three Champions League teams. Like, And you're not getting him for a ridiculous fee either, 20 to 25 million. Like, that's the reported number. That deal almost makes too much sense to me. Like, it's almost a deal that makes so much sense that PSG wouldn't actually do it.
That could be this season's Juan Bernat signing. You know, getting a quality player, reasonable price. What's disheartening about all of this is that you want it so bad for Ariel. He's been with the club so long. He came up through the youth academy. You want him to take that number one shirt and just wear it and perform well and win games in the Champions League. And he just never quite gets to that level. And you're spot on with talking about the Newcastle rumors. And I just don't think he's at that level. And the unfortunate part is that he and Trapp do not want to play second fiddle to someone. They're at a stage in their career where they want to start. And unfortunately, they're just not at the level that we need. So PSG are going to need to move on. They're going to need to sell both of them. And I think there will be a market for them. And I think we can make a profit on them. So that'll be good. But like you said, Navas, he would be fantastic if we're looking to save some money. You know, this delete signing could take quite a bit of our transfer funds that we have this summer. But if you can get an Oblak, I think, or De Gea, you know, they're at that upper echelon.
But you don't have the money.
If you don't have the money, and there's too many.
You don't have the money. It's that simple. You can't invent. You can't just create 80 million euros out of nothing. That's just how it is.
And you do. Need a midfield, but if we can get Rabiot back, maybe.
No. Save that. Yeah. Let's put a bookmark there.
All right, let's move on from the goalkeeper.
I'll get the next topic here. Okay. We have the centerpiece of PSG's most recent part of their Qatari project, Neymar Jr., getting hurt again. Yes, in the first Brazil friendly of their Copa America campaign against, ironically enough, the country of Qatar. Why Qatar is in a Copa America, I don't know. I don't know why they're there. I don't know why Japan's there either, but they're there. About 15 minutes in or so, steps the wrong way, rolls his right ankle, severely sprains it, out probably at least 6 weeks. You know, I love watching him play. I love whenever he's on the field, he makes PSG five times better than they would be, and he gives them a chance to win every game they play. But part of being an excellent player is the ability to stay healthy and to be on the field. And right now, it just seems like with these injuries and the other stuff and all of it, that he just feels like it's, you know, if it's Murphy's law, right? What can go wrong will go wrong.
That's right. The rolling of the ankle, I think it needs to be addressed. Nike needs to design some sort of shoe. It was like, if you watch college basketball here in the States, Zion Williamson, when he busted through his shoe. I'm sure Nike has now developed a shoe that he cannot bust through. It is like quadruple forged with leather or whatever. Like, they need to look at whatever is happening with Neymar and build some sort of ankle brace, some kind of boot that comes up, something. Because it is happening to him way too often, and those ligaments are getting more and more stretched, and it's just going to happen more and more often. What I do think, though, is that as unfortunate as this is for Brazil, he's going to miss the tournament, which means he gets to rest, which means he'll recover and be ready for PSG when the season comes around. So it's kind of a good thing for us, but I also think that the manager needs to look at managing his minutes in terms of how many games that he plays. We don't really need him against Nantes or somebody like that. We need him for those Champions League games, and someone's going to have to sit down with Neymar and be like, look, we are going to be very careful with when and where we play you, and he's going to have to just accept that and understand his injury history and be okay with not playing every day. I know it's hard to stay in shape and all that, and it's going to be tricky. Some people may disagree with me, but we bought him for that amount of money, or paid his buyout, so that he could play in big Champions League games for us. And he has not been able to do that for us since he came here. This is the season where he needs to be able to do that. He needs to be healthy come, you know, next February, next March, and be ready to play in those games. So injury sucks for Brazil, but it could be a good thing for PSG if we handle it right.
Yeah, and I will say, I'll push back a little bit. I don't think it's good for his psyche. I think he's – I don't know how – I think he's somewhat of a mentally tough human being, but this is a lot of this is a lot of adversity, even for sort of the most hard-boiled of us. And I also just want to say, I don't think this is a rest thing. Like, if you look at when he's had these injuries, it's essentially – most of them have happened after rest. Most of them have happened after he's had some time off. The second toe break essentially happened after a Qatar tour. Like, the guy was basically in the sand for a week, comes back, plays a couple game, rolls his ankle. The issue is structural. His it's almost scientific. Like,
yeah.
Not to get too long-winded here, but he runs very tall. Compare him to like Eden Hazard, who's fairly low to the ground and fairly well built. Lionel Messi runs low to the ground. Guys like Kylian Mbappe and Cristiano Ronaldo are big, strong dudes, like with big, strong legs. Neymar's kind of a slight individual who plays really tall and who does a lot of tricks on the ball, a lot of false steps, a lot of movement, a lot of jerking motion, and his ankles do not support that.
No.
So there are times where he just will take a normal step in a game, and because he's so herky-jerky in his movement, because he's trying to do, you know, he's trying to think three steps ahead with his steps, his ankles just give out on him. Like, they're not strong. They're not physically strong enough. So both of those I just want to keep going with this. Both of his toe injuries came from that. It wasn't because he stepped on his toe. It was because he rolled his ankle and he rolled over his toe and he broke it. That's how those two injuries happen. It's pretty simple what needs to happen here. He needs to wear ankle braces.
Yeah.
And that might not make him as colorful a player on the field. That might hinder him a little bit in being as fluid. But if he wants to have a long career here, if he wants to play another, you know, 8-9 years in high-level European football, the guy has to stay healthy, and he's got to wear ankle braces.
I mean, you can brand them Neymar ankle braces. You know, have them bright yellow or bright pink. I mean, it can be very colorful. I'm 100% in agreement with you. He needs ankle braces. And when I watch him and I see him, like, roll an ankle, I watch a lot of basketball. I see players all the time roll their ankle. It hurts like hell. I roll my ankle weekly, you know, and it's like, but you roll it, it hurts like hell, and you just keep going, and it's fine. And so, like, when I see him roll his ankle, I'm like, oh, he'll be fine. Maybe out the rest of the game, he'll be okay. But then you hear the report, and it's like, he has shattered, you know, 12 ligaments or something. It's like, what the hell happened? Like, but you're right. It's just because of the way he runs and the way he plays. It's a herky-jerky style. He rolls his ankle. It's very weak, and he just does unimaginable damage to his ankle. So, sorry, Neymar. You need to strap on the braces if you want to keep playing, because what you're doing now is not working. We'll keep it moving here. Our last topic here to get started. We've got the PSG preseason schedule. They're going to do their own tour in China. So they're going to play Inter Milan, Espanyol, and then they're going to battle Rennes in the Trophy des Champions and try to get a little bit of revenge there. Mark, compared to the U.S. tour where they would be in the ICC, how do you think that this China tour is going to go, where PSG is kind of organizing it and going on their own? Talk a little bit about the Chinese market, organizing their own tour, some of the players that are some of the teams that they're going to be facing.
Yeah. And I'll just mention that Espanyol, because they're now in the Europa League, that friendly might be off. So they might have to reschedule it. They might have to bring, they might have to fly a team over from France to play them in that game. But
it could be Lille, since they're going to be the farmer team. Like, they're going to, you know, isn't that the reports that they're going to?
I don't know. Maybe that there's some sensitive people about that. You know,
of course.
Yeah, but no. I look at it this way. They're going to make more money organizing their own tour than they would going on the ICC tour with a whole bunch of other teams. They get to be the show. They get to promote it. It's a good test to see if they have the pull in China that they believe they have. this is clearly strategically this is a strategically motivated move here to get them a higher profile in China, in the Far East. They did it last year because the ICC happened to be in Singapore and in those areas. Now they're going to try it on their own. I think this will probably work. I think there's enough of an appetite in China for football that you bring Kylian Mbappe and Neymar Jr. and Angel Di Maria, and you bring stars over there. People are going to come see the matches. I don't see a downside here. I think it's better that they organize their own thing. I never thought they got much out of the ICCs anyway, except for exposure. But the only difference is I don't know how we're going to watch any of these games or cover any of them, because unless PSG has a way to put them on their own on their own like website, they don't seem, I don't know what actual video like carriage they'll have for this game. But I do think it's a good idea. I think it's smart to try it, at least.
I mean, I'm being selfish. I would love for them to come back to the United States. I always get a kick out of going to the ICC games because you have, maybe Tottenham versus PSG, and someone will show up in, like, an Arsenal jersey. And I just want to know, like, what goes through their mind, like, I'm going to wear an Arsenal jersey to this game. So you get all kinds of interesting people. And it's also cool to see, as an American here, as a PSG fan, when they're here in the States, how many people really are. Because sometimes the media coverage is all, it's all, you know, English-based. So it's cool when you're, when they're here and you can just see how many other PSG fans. It's like, oh, I'm not the only one. It's kind of cool. So a little sad that they're not going to be here. But the Chinese market is maybe even bigger than the United States in terms of soccer. So I can totally see why they're going there. They're going to make their own, you know, more money. They don't have to share it, so that's good. They might show the games on PSG TV. I think that's still a thing.
It's not as good. That's not as well done as it should be. Like they have the funds to be able to make that at least something interesting.
Yeah, and I want to give a quick shout out to our potential goober of the week is Gordon Kelly. He's a tech contributor for Forbes. He tweeted out that signing for PSG, it's the European equivalent of going to play in China. So it kind of makes sense that PSG is going to do their preseason tour in China, since according to him, they're basically a Chinese team. So shout out to you, Gordon. Mark, let's dive a little bit more into our number one topic, which is Leonardo's return. Talk a little bit about the power structure at PSG. I know that's something that you really follow closely. So take it from here.
They needed, I think, to whatever direction they wanted to go, and when I mean they, I mean the Qataris who actually own this club and put the capital into it. You have to define what way you're going and what you're going to be putting out there in the future, and what your statement and your sort of statement of intent is. And for the last 3-4 years, I think they've been a little more hands-off in letting Nasser sort of run this thing. I think the Emir of Qatar, whose tennis buddy is Nasser Al-Khelaifi, they've known each other for decades, put Nasser in charge of it. And there have been mixed results ever since Leonardo left. And the initial team that was put in there was Leonardo as the kind of buyer of the players and Nasser as the sort of business end of the operation. And that seemed to work okay. But ever since Leonardo left, PSG have had a tough time filling that sporting director role in a satisfactory way. You've had guys like Oliver Letang and Patrick Kluivert and Antero Henrique, who have had their pluses, mainly their negatives, but they've had their positives, but they haven't had the autonomy or the just general ability to get things done the way they want without interference. There's always sort of been this power struggle that Nasser has been sort of the referee of. And for a while, there has been a weak, and I'll say it quite frankly, a weak power structure that has been ineffective in certain areas of the club. If we're talking about the business end with Jean-Claude Blanc, I think PSG is as strong as they've ever been. And you can't discount that just, you know, you can't say just because the club doesn't win the European championship that they're this failure.
It's like, kind of a hard thing to win.
It's not easy to win that. And it takes a lot of luck, and it's not a straightforward thing to win. So I don't fault them for that. And the fact of the matter is that pretty much besides this year, they've won everything else there is to win.
Yeah.
You know, there's one year they didn't win the league, and there's one year that they didn't win the cups. Mm-hmm. So this isn't a failure, but what it is something that could be better, that because of this sort of leadership vacuum has not been able to really reach its full potential. So to kind of wind the story back, what is being done right now is clear that Leonardo has been given essentially full control of the footballing operation. And he's taken that pretty much from Antero Henrique and Nasser Al-Khelaifi, who had his hands in pretty much everything. So I think what they're trying to get here is a separation of church and state, in that somebody's running the business, and the business is running parallel to the football. And the football is being run by one person, and it's not being run by eight people. And this is a good thing for a guy like Leonardo, who did not have a great run with AC Milan. But again, AC Milan's kind of a mess. I don't know if anybody can really succeed in that at that club.
Yeah.
But I'll say, if you're a Thomas Tuchel fan, this is maybe not the best news for you. Because if he thought he was going to get more power out of this, he's really not. Like, he's going to have to kind of be quiet and coach the team.
Wasn't the report that Henrique was getting ready to fire Tuchel and maybe Leonardo wanted to keep him? Did you see that report?
I don't know if it's that. I think it's more Henrique. And if I'm Antero Henrique, I absolutely wanted Thomas Tuchel fired. The guy crapped on you for a month and pretty much submarined your transfer window, or at least attempted to unwittingly. And if you know, I understand Antero Henrique's side in this totally. Like, the guy had a vision and a plan and was just not allowed to execute it in the way that he would want it to. Now, whether you agree with that vision or not, he just wasn't allowed to do it. So it's better that if he's not going to be allowed to do what he wants, that he's not here. And I think what's going to happen now is that PSG are going to, hopefully, for better or worse, PSG are going to be a more focused team when it comes to getting these transfers done. It's not going to take 3-4 weeks of negotiations, and Leandro Paredes is signed, but he's not really signed, but he's signed, but they have to still do this little part of it, and we're going to haggle over, you know, the joke in January.
It's ridiculous. Like, yeah.
We would have signed Leandro Paredes earlier if we could figure out the commission fees. Like, Antero's counting the pennies and going, hey, you know, you guys want $6 million in agent fees, but I only want to give you 4.5. Like, that's not going to happen under Leonardo. I can tell you just from his history, that's not going to happen.
That probably would happen if we had Arsene Wenger. I guarantee you that kind of nonsense would continue happening with him if he became our sporting director. But I 100% agree with you. I think from the months of January until the end of the season, I think the players in the team lost a lot of faith in Henrique with that Paredes situation, and then just the unraveling in that last month. And I think, you know, the sporting director, he's the easiest person to replace and gets a lot of blame. And someone on Twitter mentioned, like, is there any team out there that likes their sporting director? So I would agree with that. I think they're the person that gets a lot of the blame, and they're the easiest to replace. But having said that, I think Leonardo is absolutely an upgrade. He'll come in and command a certain level of respect. And I can't help but wonder if all of this was done to please Kylian Mbappe. We all know at the award show, the French football awards, where he mentioned that he wanted more responsibility. So maybe this is his first power move. Maybe he went to someone and said, hey, I really wouldn't mind seeing Leonardo here. I don't have faith in Henrique putting the players that I want around me. There's been no reports to that, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility that Mbappe had something to do with this. I mean, with Neymar injured, and a lot of people would say even if he was healthy, Mbappe is the face of PSG right now, and you're going to hire a sporting director that he agrees with. So I'm sure that he had some kind of say in this. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I don't think you needed Kylian Mbappe to say anything to figure this one out. But, I mean, to really break it down simply, are you going to waste Neymar and Mbappe's prime years at PSG with a sporting director who's best, who essentially in the last three windows, whose best signing has been Juan Bernat?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Like, we can talk about the minutiae of this, and I can give him credit for selling players at good profit or signing the academy players, that something that Letang and Kluivert didn't even bother to do.
Yeah.
Like, this is a pretty simple reason why he's not here. Like, if he leaves, which he's probably going to leave, you have to sign better players. Like,
yeah.
You can build that academy up all you want. It comes down to getting good players and having good players. And I think what you'll see with Leonardo is I don't think they're going to emphasize the academy as much as they have the last 2 years. I think a lot of those guys are going to get sold. And I think that it's going to come down to, you know, can he bring in enough players and pieces that they can build a solid team?
Why can't we be like Chelsea and just send all of our academy players on loan? Like, Chelsea had like 75 players on loan. Why can't we do that? Why do we have to sell them?
I mean, they don't have a reserve team anymore, so that might kind of be what they're going to do. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you send people on loan, you're one step away from selling them, which is why I don't like loaning players that I see potential in. Because
as long as we don't put a ridiculously low buy clause in there like we did with Lo Celso and...
But no, 20% is not low. 20% is not low.
He outperformed that, though. Like, we could have definitely, like, they're going to turn around and sell him.
Yeah, but you can't project that. Like, in the moment, it's like, okay, it's like, you know, that one I'm not putting on Henrique. That's a Tuchel problem. It's like Tuchel didn't want to use him. Yeah. So they had to find a way to sell him and a time to sell him, and they needed to do it in 2 days, and I think they got about the best they could get.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever it is that's going to be. But I do like that, you know, it's been 8 years of QSI. I think it is time for them to stop kind of messing around and let's get a real run at this. Like, let's put a guy in there that's going to do what he wants and see what happens. Because you can't kind of live in this half world where we want to win the Champions League, but we're also playing Tilo Kehrer in major minutes, and we're also, like, you know, having these wars with players and freezing them out of the team, and, you know, having it's not, the club was not, from that perspective, not being run well, because Antero Henrique is not a people person.
Right.
He's a number cruncher, and there's places in this world for people that crunch numbers. But being the sporting director of a club like PSG is not one of them. It's not a, you know, soccer is not a sport that has really embraced that sort of penny pinching analytics side of the game. Like,
yeah,
it's still about getting good players and buying good players. Like, that's what this is about. And the dude couldn't do it. So now they know that the guy they're bringing in has had a history of it. So they're going to take their chances with it. I think this was the chess move to make if you're worried about the future and you want to sort of solidify things.
I sent this out on Twitter, and I'll just bring it up here. Does PSG even need a sporting director? Like, think about it. Like, why wouldn't let the manager go with the Bill Parcells or the Sean Payton, you know, shop for the groceries and cook. Let the manager pick the players that fit his system. And with PSG funds, you know, like you said, you don't need someone to sit there and count all the pennies. You hired the manager, you've extended him, you're keeping him. Let him pick the players, let him identify, and then call him up and say, hey, Delete, you want to play here? How much you want? All right, done. Next. Who do you want?
Yeah.
Call him up. Someone might say, I don't want to go to – I don't want to play in Ligue 1. Okay. Screw you. Next. You know? Like, how hard is this?
Well, you'd think it could be that simple, but I don't see – like, I don't like giving that job to somebody who's quite frankly doesn't have the experience to do it. Like, Tomas has not been a high-level manager for the longest period of time here.
Yeah.
And – I generally prefer to have somebody who's in that job who can basically devote themselves 24/7 to it. Like, you don't want, you don't want a guy to coach the team in the afternoon and then have to go over at night on the phones.
But is it fair to judge a manager when he doesn't have 100% say in the players that he's coaching? So it's sort of like, you know, Coach K at Duke. You know, he gets to recruit those players. Those are the players that he wants. And then he gets to coach them. What if you were to apply that same sort of methodology to football and you say, I want that player. I'm going to bring him to PSG and then I'm going to coach him. It's not that unreasonable, right?
Yeah, but also, what big club does that?
Well, PSG is unlike any other big club. And doing it the old school way with a sporting director hasn't worked.
Yes, but also, you know, the only club that doesn't really have a sporting director is Real Madrid, and they have Florentino Perez making their transfer dealings. Like, personally.
I'm just saying, it works for Nick Saban and Alabama. It could work.
But yeah, but you're also Thomas talking Tingle about professional. You're talking about professional to non-professional.
They all get paid.
They all get paid, but it's not exactly the same thing.
Sure.
But I get what you're saying. It's just I don't know personally if I would trust Tuchel's judgment on who a good football player is or not. I think he's good at developing players. I think you give him young players, he can develop them. I think he knows X's and O's. I think he can for the most part game plan well. But I think they need a guy who's a known deal maker, a guy who can go in there and have these conversations with players and has the important part, which is something that Henrique had to a degree, was the connection with the agents and the connection with the market. And that's not something that Thomas Tuchel has. Like, you need to be able, you're negotiating with an agent. You're not negotiating with a player.
But anybody can get an agent's phone number. And if you say, hey, I'm Thomas Tuchel from PSG, they're going to answer your phone call because they know you have deep pockets, right? Like, you don't need to have this insider knowledge, like, oh, what's this agent's phone number? Like, you can get it and they'll answer your phone call.
Yeah, but also there's a trust part too, where, you know, the reason the De Jong deal fell through is because Henrique was working blind with a guy that he'd never worked with before.
Yeah, you don't want to get used. I think I do hear your point that I don't know if Tuchel is the manager. But Zidane, you know, I think if he were coaching, Mourinho could possibly do it, don't you think? I mean, he's, I don't know. Lately, he hasn't brought
Zidane could do it. You know, so there are certain people that can do it. And as always, these are situational things. You know, it's not a one size fits all plan. Everything works different depending on your level of comfort and skill. But it's time to make this. I think looking at it, I'm a little skeptical at the timing. That's better now than later, I guess. You know, they have. It doesn't seem like they've abandoned any of the tracks that they were on. And I think if Leonardo can improve on what Henrique was trying to do, and, you know, do it faster. It's like, you know, those relay race shows, or like those American Ninja Warrior show where the guy runs the course in seven minutes as opposed to the guy running it in two.
Yeah.
Like that's sort of, you know, there are levels to this. So I would say it's an interesting time in PSG.
Side note, I really want to see Zlatan do American Ninja Warrior. I don't know. Zlatan, I know you're listening. If you can go on that show, would really appreciate it. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. We got about 15 minutes left. You ready to do this?
15 minutes?
Give or take a couple minutes. reports are coming out, even though they've been denied by Rabiot's camp, that he could potentially be interested in signing an extension with PSG. As we all know, he's been sent to the reserve. We haven't seen him since, like, last year. I mean, I don't even know the last time. Sometimes I'll check in on his Instagram.
It was in December.
Okay, so we haven't seen him since December. There's all these rumors. He's going to Tottenham. No, they're below him, even though they got to the Champions League final. He's going to Manchester United. No, they're not in the Champions League. He's going here. He's going there. Liverpool. Liverpool has no need for him whatsoever. So, basically, nobody wants him, is what I'm finding out. And so, it's being leaked out there that he could potentially sign an extension. I know PSG fans hate him. I don't think it's the worst thing. You wouldn't have... I mean, I think it would be cheaper than signing someone of his quality from another team. And maybe he has a lot to prove. Maybe he wants to win the fans back. I think this could be a great story if he's able to win back the fans and show that, and maybe kiss the badge after a big goal in the Champions League or something. I think that this could be great. Obviously, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm just going to leave it out there. What do you think?
I think you pretty much answered your own question. This doesn't, like, what would that even look like? Like, we'd have to apologize? Like,
No apologies from us. No.
No, not from us, but from him. Like, would he apologize? Would he, like, what would that announcement video look like?
It would look like that Marco Verratti where they, like, put him in a room and he's like, I'm going to sign, I'm not leaving. I think it would be something like that.
Yeah, but it's all just. I don't think you can go back.
But he's good. He's good.
But I don't think you can. I don't think you can go back. I think they all know that you know.
You can always go back.
No, you can't in this case. He's too. The fans are not going to accept it. They're just not. And you've already signed essentially Ander Herrera for. And you've given the wages you would give to Rabiot to Ander Herrera.
We got to give Henry credit for that, right? He pulled off the Herrera signing, wouldn't you think? Yeah, give him credit for that.
Yeah, I'd say. But now your midfield is Verratti, Herrera, Paredes, and you'd have to fill in guys from there. Theoretically, Rabiot could play, but he's not going to start. He'd have to come off the bench. Yeah. I don't know if that's what he wants to do.
Could you sign him and then transfer him somewhere? Get some money for him?
I think they could maybe do that. Like, I don't know if that's what he wants, but, like, I just think I don't know.
It's such a weird situation.
You knew from the beginning that they were playing this all wrong, that Rabiot's people and, you know, mainly his mother were playing all of this wrong. Like, and here we are. Like, is there really any interest in the guy? Like, there's peripheral here and there. Like, hey, Man United might want him or somebody might want him or, like, Real Betis might want him. Like, there's nothing really concrete.
There's, like, two clubs that he would sign for, Liverpool and Barcelona. From what I can tell,
neither of them want him.
Neither
of them want him. He's played himself essentially out of millions of dollars. Like it's one. It really is one of the like just awesomely bad leverage moves that his camp made.
He's quickly finding out that playing in Paris for a team in the Champions League all the time, making a ton of money. It's not as bad as maybe he originally thought. And he was a starter. Like he wasn't on the bench. He was a regular starter until all of this happened.
Yeah. He played himself out of a lot of money and now he may have to sign a prove it deal somewhere with a club that would be willing to take him on and have him start, but he ain't going to get paid what he wants to get paid. Absolutely not.
He's dug his heel. He cannot sign for a team that. He can't sign for, you know, West Brom or, you know.
Well, he has to play. Like, where's he? He has to play somewhere.
It's so ridiculous. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping we can re-sign him, but
I don't know. I don't think fans want that.
All right. So the last topic we got for the day, the Women's World Cup in France kicked off today. You had France beat South Korea 4-0. So big win for them. I believe France is the favorites in this. They got a lot of players from Lyon. But, you know, the United States are in there. So I don't know if you got a chance to catch the game today, but do you have a favorite in this tournament? Who do you think is going to win the whole thing?
I do not have a favorite. I did not really watch this game because I was working, but I think that until they show otherwise, the United States are just, they have been the best team in women's soccer for 20 years. There have been teams like Japan and Sweden that'll give them tests once in a while, but overall, the United States are the best team. France, if they're going to win it, they're probably going to win it this year. This is their best team. Like, they have, you know, one of the best women's players in the world, Léa Sommer, and they have a bunch of other really good players. So if it's not the United States, it could be France. Australia has a half decent team too, but it is fun to watch the game kind of grow on both levels here of men's and women's. And it's good for France to host a World Cup, even if it's a women's World Cup. Actually, it's really good for the women to host that World Cup because it gives those stadiums some extra revenue. It grows the game. Absolutely win-win overall.
I was at work as well, so I missed the game, but I do enjoy the women's game. It's much like women's basketball, where you're not going to get the high-flying dunks and all of that, but what you are going to get is sound technical play. So if you're just a fan of the game itself, of football, the women's game is a joy to watch. So I will push back a little bit. I don't know if the United States are favorites. I think France would be the favorite, and you would think as an American, I would root for USA, and as the founder of PSG Talk, I would root for France. But no, my pick, I'm rooting for Jamaica. They got a tough group with Australia, Italy, and Brazil, but this is Jamaica's first World Cup that they're in, so I'm pulling for them. We'll see. Hopefully, I think they can get out of their group.
Also, this summer, African Cup of Nations.
Yes.
We did a preview of that. I'm still trying to get a Copa America preview. Luckily, we didn't do it before Neymar got hurt, because then we'd have to completely redo it. But yeah, so check those out.
The Africa Cup of Nations podcast was amazing. The guys that you had on there, their names escape me right at the moment, but super knowledgeable. You had a guy from Egypt, and you had John Alangi, who's from the Congo, right? He was born there. So you have people that are from the continent that are just talking about what it means to the several different countries and how the tournament's been moved from one country to another due to civil unrest. And it's a lot more than just the games and what it means to people who live there. And it's just a great episode. So kudos to you on that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We are PSG Talk. You can follow us at PSG Talk. You can follow my personal account at MarkDamon1. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Subscribe to our podcasts, PSG Talking and The 1970. And visit our website, PSGTalk.com. So for PSG Talk, this has been Ed and Mark saying au revoir for now.